So, welcome to Beast Place. It is, sound funny because I have a cold. No, it's not COVID. Already had the COVID. Moving on. So, Tom Cruise spazzed out at some of the people that's on comments. One, I totally get it, what he's doing. It's the first thing is, you read about some people's interpretation of this is really funny because they think it's bad because it's a powerful person yelling at the powerless. Like, that's how yelling works. If you have less power than someone, you can't yell at them. Or you can. It's like, think of it, the real simplest version of this is, let's say you're 150 pounds, or better yet, you're 12, and there's an 18-year-old. And you're in the playground, you don't know each other, blah, 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 kid's doing something, and you start talking smack. You talk smack, and that 18-year-old may or may not decide to act. But if he does, you're cooked. So that's just the way, and as you get to be more and more adult, more and more cognizant of this because you get bit by someone that's more powerful than you, and next thing you know, you're done, and you don't want to do that. So that's silly. It's like this whole idea, like, oh well, powerful people can't be allowed to yell at less powerful people. You shouldn't, but that's how it works, generally speaking. And it's better today than it's ever been, but it also makes it worse. And for that particular aspect. In the Marine Corps, I saw this a lot. We went from like this Marine Corps where if you screwed something, you're brand new, you're 18 to 24-year-old. It's about, you get a little bit older guys sometimes too. The limit's like 30 or something. And you get in there and you're a young person, so you screw things up. So they want to punish you or like make you not screw up. So they used to be able to just make you do push-ups or go for a run, or they'd mess with you. Like, one kid had some kind of PPE failure, so they made him wear this cranial thing with goggles down, which no one ever did. It was like, and it's like borderline hazing, right? Well, and you might think to yourself, well, the world's a better place because we can't haze, and hazing, we like making fun of people and blah, 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 blah. Some people take hazing really badly, and it can be done in an unfriendly way, but it can also be done in a friendly way. For instance, on my high school lacrosse team, going into varsity my junior year, the seniors like did this hazing thing to the juniors. It was like, it wasn't even like the whole team. It was like me and one other guy and like three seniors. We're just playing around, right? Because I'd already been on the team the previous year. We're just messing around. The girls did it too. Worse. They actually was like organized. They had like these parties and they would like force drink everybody. It was pretty funny, but whatever. So that being said, but it can go sideways badly if you get a sadistic person in there. It's like, it's that system, and a lot of these older systems are predicated upon knowing people, upon like shared values and all this like community stuff that's kind of gone away in the modern world. And in diverse multicultural societies, you just don't have it. So if you're like, for instance, here's another example. Let's say you're like Dave Goggins talks about being the only. You're the only. Let's use the American system. You're the only black guy in this unit, and you get hazed. You can easily believe that it's just because you're black, whereas it may not be. It may be, but it might not be either, right? But you think it is. And so then it's like exclusionary because, oh, well, I'm the black guy and I got hazed. And all the other guys are like, no, they did the same thing to me. There's nothing different. I had a Cobra pilot friend, this black dude, who hot tub, who sometimes thought that. And like there was some racism. Now, there were racist people. I think one. I ran into one legitimately racist dude. My Marine Corps career that was very like open about it and whatever. One. And so they could be misinterpretation or could be real. But when you're the only, right, you feel like it becomes exclusionary, even if they do it to everybody else. Or you're the only and you're seen as fairly unfairly as like low performing. But you take it as, no, it's just unfair. I don't do anything different than this. And it can be weird because, and even if it's not a diversity issue, it could just be like, oh, I'm being singled out. And you can find a reason. because I didn't go to the right high school. Or, you know, you show up at a workplace where, you know, 60% of the people are from University of Michigan and you're one of the 40%, and something doesn't go your way, you're like, oh, of course, because of the Michigan thing, right? So this hazing thing can go wrong, and specifically the military, it went wrong in ways that people got hurt physically. And it would make the news. And every once in a while, someone that doesn't feel like the hazing is proper, is mad about it, would leak it. Like, I don't think this is right. I'm going to fix it. So I'm going to leak it to the press. And then it gets to the press, and you have to stop it, right? You can't. Those are the kind of things that you can do that are okay, really, honestly. But they don't hold up to public scrutiny because people don't understand. People don't understand. Most people don't understand what it's like to be on a varsity football or varsity lacrosse team. Even at a school as small as 1,200 in my school, our football team was like maybe 40 people, just really small. Actually, like twice that, what we need. But the lacrosse team's 30 people. That's, even out of 1,200, that's pretty exclusionary. Now you get to college. Woo, you're talking about 30 dudes out of 30,000, right? You're talking about like football, it's 84 scholarships. I think they carry like about 120 actual personnel out of 20, 30,000 people. That's a tiny amount. Almost no one understands. And if you don't do it, the likelihood that you understand it is small. Like truly understand it. Same thing with like pro sports. People talk smiggity about pro athletes, but in reality, you don't really know what they're doing. So there you have it that way. And so a couple of people get hurt. So it's decided in our society, I think, is getting more wuss-like as time goes on. Part of that is just seeing what the risks are. So one of the wuss-like things about our society is wear a seatbelt, wear a helmet on a motorcycle. I don't think there should be laws forcing you to do so. I think it's a good idea to do so. The forcing part is kind of like, eh, but it's noticing what's wrong and then fixing it. And some people view that as like wussification the way it is. In a way, it's just being careful. And it's, you know, there's like fine lines there between cowardice and careful is like a gray zone in you know, where to carelessness and bravery, same thing. But anyway, in this military context, you had this all this hazing. Some people didn't take it right, and sometimes it went out of control, and it can get out of control. You can be in that situation where you're doing the hazing and you just sort of lose control and just take it too far. It happens all the time. So they're like, okay, well, this is a problem, and it's causing, every once in a while, it's causing us an issue, so we're just going to stop doing it. Someone decides, some general goes, you know what, we're just going to stop doing this. It's not worth the cost anymore. We figured out that it's dangerous, it's bad, whatever reason. But what it replaces it with is paperwork in the military. It replaced doing push-ups with getting a piece of paper in your record. You get enough of those and it ruins your career. So you got an 18-year-old kid who's looking at a potential 10 to... somewhere between, you know, if you make a career out of it, you're looking at 20 to 30 years. You can go a little bit more at the upper ranks as you get, but, you know, so you got a kid, 18 to 24, joining the Marine Corps, officer enlisted, doesn't matter. Enlisted, it's worse because they come down on them harder, but it's funny because they get, it's their threshold to get in trouble is actually like the acceptable behavior is like a wider spread than what would be socially acceptable as an officer. But once you do get in trouble, it's harder to get, the higher your rank, the harder it is to get you in trouble. By the time you're like a gunnery sergeant and above, anyway, that's beside the point. But you get a piece of paper and it can ruin your career. So before it was like, you're going to have a bad day, you're going to feel bad and bullied for a while. And then as you pick up rank, stuff tends to go away. Because there's not people left to bully you. Basically, they can't. Once you're a sergeant, that sergeant can't. Now it's like going to be a fist fight. So, it has, there's like all these things. Like when you You got rid of like some of this hazing stuff, but it was replaced with paperwork. So instead of like ruining someone's day or hurting them a little bit, you're now inflicting, you know, life-changing damage to people. But who knows? Maybe it's better that way. Whatever. But he's yelling at his... So Tom Cruise is yelling at his people. And another big aspect of it was like, oh, he's not really worried about the virus. He's worried about getting shut down. Yeah. Yeah. Because for the most part, the virus isn't particularly deadly. It has some long lingering effects. It would be... Dude, if you get this thing every year, good luck. Good luck. But that being said, it's not, there aren't bodies piling up in the streets. There aren't, like, look at all the hospitalizations. Like, yeah, that sucks. That's a problem. That's, like, an issue. But dead and more, it's like death and morbidity, mortality and morbidity is what really matters. And while this has, like, a somewhat of a high morbidity, the lethality is low. So it's like, it's hard to, in it's hard to care. When that's just not what's happening. The real, now the lockdowns may have saved us from that, but what this guy's worried about is the lockdowns. The lockdowns are doing damage, a lot of damage. In fact, probably more than if we had done nothing. I don't know, right? Sweden points to, and China points to, a lot of this too is like infection rates. If you're infected and you have no side effects from it, like you just, you have this virus and what? Yeah, you have the virus. It's going to go away on its own. It's not going to have any effect on you. That's not a disease. There's literally like millions of billions of bacteria, whatever, in your body at any given moment. Who cares if another one shows up and does nothing? It's there, but it's not doing anything. And then you counter with like, yeah, but it's contagious. Okay. And you can give it to someone that is affected. Okay, granted. But what Tom Cruise is worried about is not lethality. He says it. He's like, look, dude, our industry shut down and people are going bankrupt because we can't make money and it's the only thing we can do. So you guys have to follow the rules because if you're seen as not following the rules, they're going to come in here and they're going to shut us down. Not if you're COVID positive. You can have a positive COVID whatever, and the show goes on. F1 has shown this. 78 positive cases in, albeit like truncated time-wise, but the number of races about the normal season. 78 positives, including, I think like two or three drivers. Did Stroll get it? Well, at least two. Two drivers to like the stars of the sport. What's important to Tom Cruise is keeping his movie going, probably for personal ego reasons, also for money reasons. He probably, like, is a producer. He's probably heavily involved in things like the money this thing's going to make, etc. So his real worry and what he has to look at isn't so much, are you infected by COVID? I'm more, he's kind of like, and he says like, hey, man, I care about everybody here. And the reason I'm angry is because if you guys do this, it'll shut this down, including it'll hurt you. So if you guys can't follow these simple safety rules, I'm going to get rid of you. The Marine Corps can't do that. And this is going back to, this is way before COVID or anything else, but we're getting into like this safety thing. And they're constantly like, the problem was that the Secretary of Defense at the time, I can still picture what this guy looks like, Donald Rumsfeld. He decided he was going to go for zero accidents. One of the things they did to reduce accidents is reduce a class. So it used to be A, B, C, D. They took D out. And D is like no first aid required, but someone got hurt. Or it only required like some minor first aid, like, oh, I cut my hand playing with the screwdriver, but it's a tiny little cut. We put some alcohol and a Band-Aid on it. It was fine. Right? That would be like class D, right? So they just took those out because there's so many. And then it made it look like, but the big ones are the big ones and they're going to happen. But he wanted it all gone. So you'd have some guy, and every time something happened, it's a new rule. So one day, some guy's out jogging in the middle of the night and he gets planked by someone, right? That someone might have been looking at their phone, whatever. They'll say, I didn't see him. Okay, well, what do we do at night? We kind of like, we can't have people running around at night getting hit by cars. Let's make them wear glow belts. Okay, from now on, in the hours of darkness, you wear a glow belt. And some guy goes out running in November at like 5, and he gets back by 5:45, and it's kind of dusky, and someone's like, you're not wearing your belt. He's like, it's not dark yet. And then you have to wear it all the time. And the Marine Corps used to laugh. It's so funny. I had a CO who'd like laugh at all the glow belts. And then suddenly the Marine Corps had that order. And it's so funny to watch these people. Like, from now on, we're watching glow belts. And everyone's like, what? You just made fun of this last week. And they just sort of try to ignore it. I like it better when they acknowledge it. Like, I did have one CO that was like, listen, it was about alcohol. Like, look, on all these previous deployments in the past, we used to be able to sit around and, you know, kind of get our drink on all stealthily, but they're really going to enforce the rules now. And if I catch you, I'm telling you now, yeah, I did it. Yeah, some of y'all did it. But from now on, this is serious, and we will, like, take this real serious. Don't do it. Like, not wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This is, like, for real. Do not. So you can kind of see how that, but he was honest about it. He wasn't like, you will not do this, it's wrong. He was just like, dude, I did it too. That was the past. Today's today. The commands have changed their minds. Let's, you know, kind of move on. And it's all, and a lot of it too is, you know, you protect yourself. You know, Cruz is protecting himself, protecting the movie, protecting the industry. If they get some special privileges now in California where they can have an outdoor eating facility, but the restaurant across the street can't. So when you're in that situation, you can't really, you don't want to flaunt the rules. The problem is, it's personal risk assessment. A lot of people, including people that believe in masks and social distancing, believe in it for other people, not for themselves. So it makes it so that your own personal behavior doesn't necessarily match your, like, and you know, you can be like, oh, it's a hypocrite. Well, it's easy to have a hypocritical mindset when you are, it's like you're not really thinking about it. You're just like, oh, well, this situation's safe. I know I can make this determination, but other people can't make this determination. And everybody does this. And you do, I mean, think about it, if you have kids, a lot of times you're like, you won't let them do stuff. You're like, I would do that. When I was that age, I probably would have wanted to do, you know, whatever. So, but he's right. I think at the end of the day, with the Cruz thing, despite all the ins and outs of it, you have to protect your thing. And if this is some high profile shoot, like Mission Impossible, all you need is one person with their cell phone, take a picture, no social distancing, or not even mean to, like, not even take a picture with the intent of harm, right? So let's take out the thing where you're a pissed off whistleblower. It's not that. You and your friends are hanging out and you decide to take a picture. And in that picture, it's like a candid view, right? Because if you get together for a picture, no one cares. But let's say it's like a candid view, like two people are hanging out and they're not wearing their mask or whatever. And you just post it. Some butthead, which is why we kind of need to get rid of Twitter and Facebook. Probably just Twitter. I don't know. I think probably just Twitter. Is going to sit there and make some snide comment, because there's always going to be someone. And then that snide comment, it does not take much at all. Like, one or two comments is enough to set off, like, let's say, like, all right, one worker on that thing takes a picture, posts it to one or two people on Twitter, make some comment, and it's somehow, and then one reporter picks it up and retweets it, like some kind of, you know, Hollywood insider type thing, and the executive sees it and goes, what? And he calls Tom Cruise, like, we're shutting your movie down. We told you not to do this. Now you're doing it. And we're going to shut you down because we're not having no COVID, blah, blah, blah. And now you're shut down. because the guy doesn't want to take heat, which is why, like, Twitter basically is the end of the universe, because it's going to shut everything down. All right, cool. My point is, the guy got spazzed out at a couple workers for not following certain rules, and I think he's correct to admonish them, because if you're that public and you're supportive of the thing, then you have to act that way. And even if you're not personally, if you're sitting there and someone puts you in charge, go make this movie, here's $300 million. Here are the rules you're going to follow. You have to oblige. When you sign on, you're saying, yes, I will follow those rules, regardless of how you feel about them, right? Now, there are times where people are lauded for not following those rules when those rules are viewed as evil or are evil. I don't know, apartheid. Let's use that as, well, probably most of you don't understand what that means. Something discriminatory, like the rule is you can't hire any black people. And someone gets the thing, goes, I'm going to hire a black guy anyway, because there are moments like that. Most of the time, 99.9% of the time, in fact, 100% of the time, you shouldn't. You should fight to change the rule 100% of the time, no matter what it is. Because all that's going to happen, and Tom Cruise points this out, you'll just get shut down. If you want to change something, change it. But just blatantly disregarding, and it's especially, now if it's something intentful and political and you have a point to what you're doing, and that point could be like furthered by your firing. So let's say that this was some kind of like, I don't know what it would be, but like some kind of moral upright thing that he's standing against pedophiles, and Tom Cruise is going to stand against pedophiles by breaking studio rules. And he does so and he gets in trouble. That actually can be good because it brings attention. However, if it's some procedural thing that says, hey, don't stand more than 6 feet closer to each other unless you have the following reasons, and you don't, and you're hanging out, he's correct for doing it. Apparently, he can sometimes be a dick, but okay, who can't? And then, of course, he was attacked for Scientology, which is not germane. So, cool. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.